I'm sure many of us will be able to cast our minds back far enough to remember the inauguration ceremony of Joe Biden as president, which took place in January 2021. You may have watched some of it on the news at the time. It was a really significant event that made news headlines around the world, partly because of the importance of a new president coming into office, but also because of the controversy that overshadowed his election. We'll all remember Trump's allegations of corruption in the counting of the votes and the riots in the Capitol building. But in the midst of all of this, it was the words of a 22-year-old woman who described herself as a skinny black girl raised by a single mother that captured the heart and caught the attention of many people around the world. Amanda Gorman became the youngest poet to recite at the inauguration of a president, and her words spoke clearly into the injustice and pain faced both in America and around the world today, and her words also brought a great deal of hope. And I'd like just to play you just about 20 seconds of her poem.
When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? The loss we carry, a sea we must wade. We've braved the belly of the beast. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace. In the norms and notions of what just is, isn't always just is.
When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? The loss we carry, a sea we must wade. We've braved the belly of the beast. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace, and the norms and notions of what just is, isn't always justice. Throughout this period of Lent, I want to encourage us as a church to spend some time thinking about justice. I'm sure most, if not all of us, will know well the words of Micah 6, verse 8, which I've talked about and mentioned a few times already this morning, that as God's people, we should act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And this is a massive challenge in a world where we see a great deal of injustice going on all around us. Some of that is very clear and plain to see, and some is more subtle and hidden. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be thinking about justice in our services and small groups, following four themes of learning and listening and searching and responding. Today, we're thinking about the importance of learning when it comes to considering God's call to act justly. As I was preparing for this week, these words from Amanda Gorman kept on coming back to my mind, particularly the last four lines of this bit of the poem. We've learned that quiet isn't always peace, and the norms and notions of what just is isn't always justice. And for me, these words highlight very clearly that the structures, the values, the lifestyles that we follow and live by, that which just is, isn't always justice. We live in a world where injustices take place all around us, and often we fail to engage with these issues. We often just accept that this is the norm, or we claim ignorance or unawareness. Perhaps we think it's someone else's problem to solve and not our own. Or we recognize that an injustice is taking place, but we don't always know what we can do to help. And perhaps instead that leads us to not do very much at all. I believe that a process of learning what's really happening in the world around us, and what does God have to say about that, of listening firsthand to those experiencing an injustice, and also listening to the voice of God, of searching our own hearts, minds, and attitudes before God, will lead us to respond to injustice with much greater love and compassion and Christ-likeness. And so over the next few weeks, we'll be taking these themes of learning, listening, and searching and in our services, thinking about them more broadly and about justice as a whole. But I've also challenged our small groups to pick a particular justice issue, whether that's poverty or climate change or racial injustice, and the list goes on. And to apply these principles of learning, listening, and searching to that particular issue. And then finally to consider how might we respond as people of faith. If you aren't part of a small group, you might want to do that yourself. I can send you the material. Pick a justice issue that you want to explore and go through this process for yourselves. Today we're thinking a bit more about the importance of learning when it comes to that call from God to act justly. How can we possibly get to grips with the injustice experienced by a particular individual or group or country or part of the world unless we fully get to grips with that issue, understand what is happening, why it's happening, who is affected, who is causing that injustice and why? How do those affected feel and think? What part do I play in that injustice? These are all important questions. But today I want to focus on one word, and that word is truth. We live in a world where there are many lies told and many part truths. In the past week, I've been scrolling through BBC News articles and talking about the situation in Ukraine, and I've read the words fake news, propaganda, and fact-checking countless times. In the past 2 weeks, fake news stories and images have been flying around social media. There was even one post doing the round that claimed that the war in Ukraine wasn't real, showing pictures of people putting on fake blood. Those images were actually taken on a film set in Ukraine in 2019 and hold no relation to the current war and absolutely no truth whatsoever. We've heard in the past 2 weeks of the propaganda and lies being fed to the Russian people and the censorship of the media in that country. But equally, we're also often fed news here that is perhaps slanted in one direction, or perhaps we hear government ministers giving us facts that are only partly true. One article on the news this week was fact-checking the words of Boris Johnson when he said that the government has a proud, proud record. We've done more to resettle vulnerable people than any other European country since 2015. That statement is not an outright lie, but it's also not the whole truth. It's true that we've resettled more refugees who have already claimed asylum in another country, but we lag behind many other nations when it comes to resettling refugees as a whole. It's become quite commonplace, I think, in politics, starting really with Trump in America, but also now in UK politics, for part truths and broad statements and claims to be thrown around without much thought given to helping the general public understand the reality and the truth of these issues. Often, these mistruths are told at the expense of those facing the greatest injustice and to protect the interests of those in power. And it's into this context of fake news on social media and the exaggerations, mistruths, and sometimes outright lies that we are fed that we need to be committed to learning and to seeking out the truth for ourselves, in order to make sure that we're standing up for the needs of those who are facing oppression and injustice in our society and in the world today. These are some words from Zechariah chapter 8, 16. These are the things you are to do. Speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgments in your courts. Do not plot evil against each other and do not love to swear falsely. I hate all of this, declares the Lord. These verses encourage us to turn away from evil and from lies and to live and speak truth. Seeking the truth is at the heart of learning to act justly. So, in an age of fake news and mistruths, How do we learn to discern the truth which sets us free from injustice? I was speaking to Graham about this question on Wednesday, and he shared with me his Bible reading notes from that day, which had been looking at the passage from Job 28 that we read earlier. And in most versions of this Bible, the passage has been given the title, Where is Wisdom Found? The passage gives us a really helpful image of a miner dangling from a rope and digging in the darkness with primitive tools, exhausted from hard labor, but driven by a vision of riches of gold and diamonds buried below. The message here is that so often great riches are deposited in dark and difficult places. This passage from Job goes on to ask the question, where can wisdom and understanding be found? The implication of this passage is that to find wisdom and understanding, we have to go digging in the darkness. The same could also be said for truth. So what does it look like to go digging in the darkness for a truth that sets us free from injustice? I think it can be helpful to understand that there are different types of truth. I find this simple image quite helpful. It shows us two different types of truth, subjective truth and objective truth. Objective truth is truth not influenced by the thoughts and feelings of individuals, but based on the facts. For example, a historian would try to be objective in trying to establish the facts about an event that happened many years ago. Objective truth is about fact-finding, trying to build up an accurate picture of the reality of a situation, a person, or in the case of what we're thinking about today, a justice issue. So one way we might go digging in the darkness for truth is to look at a particular issue objectively and to establish the facts and to find out what's really going on, to look at it from all angles. This is less about how those experiencing injustice feel and more about numbers and figures. Say you were to take a big justice issue today of migration and the refugee crisis. One way you might explore this is to dig deeper into the facts. How many people are displaced? How many people have settled in the UK and in other places? Where have those people come from? What are the pathways for refugees trying to come to the UK? This is a very practical way of establishing some level of truth. But objective truth alone can be quite heartless and cold. And this is where subjective truth becomes important. This is truth influenced by the outlook, background, thoughts, and feelings of a particular person or group. And this is where this image on the screen becomes particularly powerful, where one person sees a perfect sphere. Another person sees that there is a piece missing from their perspective. This is perhaps a really helpful way of understanding some of the issues we see in the world around us, like racial justice or gender inequality. It's what some might call being privileged. Those who are not experiencing injustice for themselves can easily have the outlook that nothing is wrong and that these issues aren't as big as some people make out. Yet from the perspective of someone experiencing injustice, they see that a big bit of life is missing. And for them, the world is a very different place. In the article where I found that image, which was written by a lady called Sister Julia Walsh, she says this: in our postmodern world, there's a common temptation to let the opinions and beliefs held by another be their truth, while one maintains my own truth. When I hear that folks say things like, believe what you want, I know what I believe, I get frustrated and wonder why we dismiss one another, why we don't believe that others can help expand our thinking, our perspective. Only through community and in relationship can we gain a more complete picture of the objective truth what we are all seeking to understand. In this article, she's saying that we can only fully understand all of the facts, the whole objective truth, when we take into account the views, opinions, beliefs, thoughts, and feelings of others. And we can only do that in community and in relationship. That's where we gain a more complete picture. How do we dig in the darkness for a truth that sets us free from injustice? We could say that we do it together. We do it in relationship, listening to each other with a real openness and seeking to understand each other's subjective reality. At Fresh Dreams this year, I went to a seminar called Justice Requires a Just System. It was led by a lady called Gail Richards, who is a regional minister and also a university chaplain. Her family originally come from Jamaica, and she's done a lot of research into the abolition of the slave trade. And actually, this seminar that I went to has inspired this Lent series that we're looking at. And she was helping us to think about what we can learn from the abolition of the slave trade and apply to issues of injustice in the world today. And she told the stories of two men, Samuel Sharp and William Nibb. Samuel Sharp was a black Jamaican slave who was named after his white enslaver. He eventually became a Baptist minister in Jamaica and fought for slavery to be abolished, and even resorted to violent protests to make that happen. William Nibb was a white British Baptist missionary to Jamaica. He was respected amongst slaves as someone who wanted to help them and who saw slavery as an injustice. He eventually played a significant role in the abolition of slavery. However, at one point there was a big disagreement between these two men because of their outlook. Sharp wanted slaves to be set free and believed that that was what the Bible said. Whereas at first, Nibb, speaking as a white Christian from the UK at this time, was mainly arguing that slaves should be treated more fairly. Nibb spoke out against the violent protests of Sharp, and Sharp argued that Nibb wasn't going far enough to seek the abolition of slavery. Now, both of these men have been recognized throughout history for their role that they played in the abolition of slavery, but their story speaks of their different outlooks, their different thoughts and feelings, their different theology, their understanding of God and God's will. The Baptist Missionary Society that William Nibb was sent by was one of the earliest Christian missionary organizations to speak out against slavery. But more recently, they issued an apology for the ways in which, even in fighting for justice, they got it wrong and didn't always seek to understand slavery from the perspective of those who were experiencing it for themselves. When I heard this story, I was struck by the fact that our desire to seek justice isn't always enough. Rather, we have to seek justice from the margins, in relationship and in community with those who have been pushed aside by society and by the world. We need to be asking those who are oppressed what justice really looks like for them, and seeking to understand their truth as well as our own. And this is the place where Jesus himself ministered from. I'm sure you've heard it said many times that Jesus ministered from the margins. He spent most of his time with the poor, the sick, the marginalized, and the oppressed, those who were treated most unfairly and most unjustly. He sought to understand and to help them. But equally, he didn't see himself just as a doctor who had come to fix them, the patient. He hadn't come to fix them. He wanted to sit at a table and eat with them. He wanted to share a relationship with them. He wanted to be their friend and their brother. If we want to understand the injustice faced by others, we need to not only understand their truth, but live their truth with them. This really does mean digging for truth in the darkness, as it means getting uncomfortable and finding ourselves in new and unfamiliar places. So we've thought about objective and subjective truth, but I also want to think for a moment about another type of truth, absolute truth. If something is absolute, then it's total, it's complete, it exists independently. It's not relative or comparable to anything else. It's bigger than objective truth, which is based on facts, and subjective truth, which is based on the perspective of an individual or group. Absolute truth is full, complete truth. If I was to add absolute truth to this image, I'd probably put a circle around it. It's the truth from the perspective where all is seen, where all is known, and where all is understood. It's truth from the perspective of God. It's the real meaning of the wisdom and understanding talked about in Job 28. Listen to these words from verses 20 to 24. Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds of the sky. Destruction and death say only a rumor of it has reached our ears. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. Only God knows where full and complete wisdom, understanding and truth dwells, because he's the only one who views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. To dig in the darkness for a truth that sets us free from injustice, most importantly, involves seeking the wisdom and understanding of God. Towards the end of this passage, it says that this understanding comes from fearing the Lord. Our verse for the year from John chapter 1 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He came to bring truth to the world. Truth is a repeated theme all throughout John's Gospel, which we're exploring this year. John 8:32, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." John 14, verse 16, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And John 16, verse 13 says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." We find in the passage from Job 28, this idea that truth is concealed, that we have to go digging for it like gold or diamonds. In John's Gospel, what we find is Jesus saying, "I am the truth. Look at me. Get to know me. Follow me. See how I live. Look at how I treat those who are marginalized and treated unjustly." In other words, look at the world through the lens of Jesus and consider how he would view issues such as human trafficking, the refugee crisis, poverty, racism, climate change, and the list goes on. We find absolute truth when we understand the world through the eyes of God. We do still need to be careful not to read into scriptures our own views, the views of our society, or the fake news and lies that we hear around us. And that's why we dig in the darkness for God's truth, alongside establishing the objective true facts and seeking to understand the world from perspectives of other people. And as we look at the facts and listen to others, we do that with our ears and hearts open to God, at the same time praying, "Lord, search me, and teach me and help me to understand the truth as I research, as I listen to others. Help me to know the truth. This is about our relationship with God. One of those verses that I read from John, from John 16, says that the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. The Spirit of God lives in each one of us. And when we live with an awareness of His Spirit as we go about our lives, I believe that God will speak to us and guide us in not just discerning what is true, but speaking out in truth against the injustices that we see around us. As well as describing Himself as truth, Jesus also called Himself the light of the world. If we want to dig in the darkness for truth, for a truth that sets us free from injustice, where better to start, and who better to take with us than Jesus, the light of the world? I started with some words from that poem from Amanda Gorman, and I want to finish with some more of her words. Let the globe, if nothing else, say this is true. That even as we grieved, we grew. That even as we hurt, we hoped. That even as we tired, we tried. That we'll forever be tied together, victorious. Not because we will never again know defeat, but because we will never again sow division. Scripture tells us to envision that everyone shall sit under their own vine and fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. If we're to live up to our own time, then victory won't lie in the blade, but in all the bridges we've made. That is the promise to glade the hill we climb. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it, for there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it. If only we're brave enough to be it. So this Lent, let's learn and let's listen. Let's search and respond to God's call to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. With Jesus, our light, let's dig in the darkness for the truth that sets us free and sets this world free from injustice.